Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for the entrance of your word brings light. Cause that light, O Lord, to shine in our hearts this morning and give understanding to all those whose hearts are open before you. In the name of Jesus, as we look into the perfect law of liberty, even on this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, back to our series of foiling the fiery darts of the enemy. Today, we'll be talking about terror and oppression. These are some of the tools in devil's toolbox. But in, you know, the antidote that God gives us will be deliverance and protection. So, as our manner is, we're just going to look at many scriptures that give us promises and different things like that, that we can hold on to. Yesterday, we dealt on the subject of sicknesses and diseases. God giving us healing and health instead. Powerful room. And we prayed and we made declarations. And I believe with all my heart that the Lord answered those prayers. And he's watching over the word to fulfill it. Even as it is said in the book of Isaiah that, you know, as the rain drops down from heaven and does not go back up there, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth, the Lord said. It shall not return unto me void. Accomplish God's purpose and do his good pleasure. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, let's get into this lesson about terror and oppression. And we'll talk about the negative a bit, but we want to talk more about the positive. Praise God. We're going to start and make our way through many scriptures, right from Exodus, clear on to the New Testament. We'll be talking about this and giving you scriptures that you can hold on to. What is the purpose of doing these Bible studies this way? Well, that we may know the things that are freely given us of God, and that we may understand what the Lord has already done, the victory that we have in Christ, etc. Praise the Lord. And use that word to gain victory in every situation. Beginning from Exodus, we see the Lord speaking with Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and revealing his intentions to set, to come down and set the people of Israel free from the bondage that they were in Egypt. And here's how the Lord put it in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 9. You know, the Lord said, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have seen also the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them." So right away we see that God, you know, he takes note when his people are being oppressed. Now, it turned out that in the case of the children of Israel, they had been in oppression in Egypt for over 400 years. That's a long time to be in that situation. At first, you know, they were doing well there, and then later on, you know, the Pharaoh that knew Joseph, that gave them a lot of favor, died. Another Pharaoh came upon that didn't know him. They began to afflict them, and so on and so forth. You know, and the Lord said, you know, to Moses, "You're going to go up to there and tell them that the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob has appeared unto you." Then he said it to them. He said, "Look, the Lord has said, I have surely visited you, and I've seen that which is done in to you in Egypt. And I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites," and so on. You know, so now we see that the Lord, he called out the oppression, called out the terror as well. Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 7. I'm just going to go through and share, you know, some of these scriptures with us. Praise the Lord. Now, the Lord says here, let me read it from verse 5. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, Syrian ready to perish was my father, went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few, came a nation, great, mighty, and populous, and Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord, even the Lord God of our fathers, the Lord heard our voice, and he looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. Mm-hmm. So the Lord, he sees all these things, the affliction, the labor, and even the oppression. And the Lord, he brought them out of Egypt, the high hand, with a stretched out hand, signs and wonders, and so forth. So, these two scriptures we have read indicate to us that the Lord knows our sufferings. He does, indeed. Praise the Lord. And he knows the affliction. He knows the oppression of the enemy, and so on. 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. Again, we see what the scripture says here in 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. Praise the Lord. Let me read that to you. It says, you know, when people are being oppressed, they need to cry out unto the Lord. This is the same principle that God brought out when he was talking to Moses on Mount Horeb. He said, I have seen the affliction of my people down in Egypt, and I have heard their cry. And I've now come down to deliver them out of all the oppression of the enemy. So, here is what, at this time, you know, at different times when the Israel sinned against the Lord, the Lord will give them up and so forth. You know, and their enemies would oppress them, but occasionally they will turn unto the Lord, they will cry unto the Lord, and the Lord will hearken. Now, in this particular case, Jehoahaz besought the Lord, we're told, and the Lord hearkened unto him, for he saw the oppression of Israel, because the king of Syria oppressed them. And the Lord gave Israel a savior, so that they went out from under the hand of the Syrians, and the children of Israel dwelt in their own tents, even as before time. Now, this pattern is what we want to talk about today. When the Lord has seen the oppression, and any oppression or terror that the enemy put upon his children, you know, he will raise one up to pray. One or more, when they begin to pray, the Lord will raise up salvation. He will bring deliverance and cause his people to return to their own place and dwell safely as before time. Praise the Lord. So, let's read again a few more scriptures here. In the book of Job, chapter 36 and verse 15. Job chapter 36, verse 15. Just approaching this today as a Bible study, give us scriptures that we can hold on to. He said, the Lord delivered the poor in his affliction and opened their ears in oppression. You know, so the Lord when he's looking and he has seen the wickedness and the affliction of the wicked over God's people, he will deliver them out of their affliction. You know, so that's a promise. And we've seen that he has done it in the past and he will do it again. This one is very powerful. Psalm 9 and verse 9. A powerful declaration from the Lord. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know the name of the Lord will put their trust in the Lord. For thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. That's powerful stuff. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. Now, if you're oppressed in any kind of thing, and there are different kinds of oppression. Any kind of thing that suppresses your life, you know, instead of you having abundant life, causes you to be in affliction, causes you to be in pain, in sorrow, in distress, or, you know, puts burdens upon you. I mean, all of these are oppressive spirits and oppression. And it comes in many different ways. It can even come through people trying to oppress you, you know, in your secular lives, on your jobs, and so on and so forth. You know, all these oppressions may be there. But we want to talk about the Lord's deliverance and his protection. Praise the Lord. Look at Psalm 12 and verse 5. More declarations, you know, about, you know, the ability of God to rise up and save the oppressed. Listen to this. Psalm 12 and verse 5. For the oppression of the poor and for the sign of the needy, now will I rise up, saith the Lord, and I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Hallelujah. You know, so when you are being oppressed, in fact, the Lord, he says, look, sometimes the oppression that comes upon people, the Lord will see it and he says, it's greater than their strength. He calls them poor because, you know, the rich, the mighty, the strong, they rule over them, they suppress them. And the Lord said, I will now, because of all of that, I will rise up. Glory to God. And I will set you in safety from him that puffeth at you. You know, in any way, in any shape that the devil is puffing at God's people, the Lord has promised to arise and set you in safety and deliver you from the hand of the puffer. That's right. Praise the Lord. You know, so Psalm 42 and verse 9. Now, this was the psalm in which, of course, David bestirring himself, you know, trying to encourage himself and so forth. And he said, you know, I will say unto God, my rock. This was his prayer at the time. Why hast thou forgotten me? Well, God has not forgotten you. Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? You know, so when there is oppression, you need to cry out to God. And that's the thing. It is noteworthy how, in fact, the Lord said this to Moses when he engaged with him on the mount, trying to send him back to the children of Israel to get him out of there. It's noteworthy how the Lord said it. He said, I have seen their affliction, and I have heard their cry. You know, it looks like, you know, they were afflicted for a long time before they started to cry unto the Lord. You can read that in Exodus 3 and 7. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. You know, so when we are going through stuff, don't just be there taking it and bemoaning, you know, your woes and licking your wounds. Cry out unto the Lord. I mean, you know, it's noteworthy to see how the Lord put it here. I've seen their affliction. Well, they were afflicted for many years. Maybe they were not crying out to the Lord. But now, when they started crying out, then the Lord had to do something. You know, so it's not just the affliction that causes God to bring deliverance, but it's the cry. Cry out to the Lord, the cry of the righteous. We did this about a month or so ago in this room. The cry of the righteous. Cry out to the Lord in the state of your affliction, whatever that oppression might be, you must cry out unto the Lord. The Lord promised many things. Psalm 43 verse 2, also part of David's bestirring himself in those two Psalms, 42 and 43. He bestirred himself and said, my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? You know, and why is it that you are cast down? He said, well, you know, I'm going to bestir myself and I'm going to praise the Lord. You know, that's one way that he knew how to do it, was to praise the Lord. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Well, pour out your heart unto the Lord. But remember, God's not the one that cast you off. You know, he's coming for you. He's coming to deliver you. I mean, you know, people feel like that at times when they're going through stuff. Say, well, you know, the Lord that cast me off and so forth. You know, I'm here eating the bread of the languishing and putting ashes on my head and so on. Where is the God of my salvation? Well, the God of your salvation is coming. Hallelujah. He's coming to deliver you from all your distresses. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his distresses. Let's read Psalm 44 and read verses 4 and 5. Praise the Lord. Again, the Lord will command deliverances for you. Here's what he says. Psalm 44 verse 4. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee we will push down our enemies. Through thy name we will tread down them, we'll tread them down that rise up against us. Hallelujah. So the Lord will command deliverances for his people. When they are faced with terror and going through oppression of the enemy, the Lord says, I will command deliverances for Jacob. And that's for you too. Now, these scriptures, once we see them, they are ammunition to use in prayer. Praise the Lord. To know that the Lord is good and that he is faithful. And he will hear those that call upon him in truth. Praise the Lord. Now, in Psalm 72, it says, the Lord shall judge his people with righteousness and the poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people. That's Psalm 72. I'm reading from verse 2, but verse 4 is where I'm going. The mountains shall bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. The Lord shall judge the poor of his people, shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. Now, so we're coming out against the oppressor here this morning with these scriptures. Any kind of oppression, any kind of gloating from the enemy over the lives of God's children, to think, aha, aha, I got you down. The Lord said, I will break in pieces the oppressor. And God's going to do that, you know, for you in order to deliver you from all of your distresses. Praise the Lord. Now let's read a few more promises. Psalm 89, verses 22 to 26. The enemy shall not exact upon you. You know, God does not want the enemy to exact upon us. So when the enemy is exacting upon you, you know, when you feel in distress and under oppression and terror, then you got to go to the Lord and quote these verses and say, Lord, you said the enemy shall not exact upon me, nor the son of wickedness afflict me. The Lord said, I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will also set his hand on the sea and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, thou art my father, my rock and my salvation. You know, I will make him also my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. Now, all of these are the sure mercies of David that the Lord gave to David. But we can claim it also. Praise God. You know, my mercy will I keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Did Jesus not say that he that overcometh shall sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set with my Father in his throne? He said that too. Praise God. Revelation 3 and 21. Now, so the Lord had promised deliverance. He said, you cry unto the Lord, call him your Father, cry unto him, call him your rock, call him your God. David, he knew how to do that. And the Lord would always beat down his foes, beat down his enemies before him. Praise the Lord. Now, Psalm 91, powerful, powerful psalm of deliverance from oppression and from terror. Let me read a little part of it. Praise God. And it's a good psalm to read and declare over yourself, over your family, over your loved ones all the time. You know, but let's just read a few verses here. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Now, listen to this. This is point blank declarations for you. Surely he shall deliver thee, that's you, from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Now, there is always terror, and there's always reason to be afraid. But here's how the Lord stands with you. He says, thou shalt not be afraid, for the terror by night, the arrow that fly by, the bullets and all these things, on the pestilence that walketh in this, that walketh in darkness, or the destruction that wasteth at noonday. You will not be afraid. 1,000 shall even fall at thy side, 10,000 over on this side, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thy eyes do thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. You know, why? Because you have made the Lord, the Most High, have made him your habitation. When you are dwelling inside the Lord, he's like then like a fortress. There shall no evil befall thee then, because you have done that. And neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. Now, these are powerful promises that the Lord can use. I mean, that you can use from the Lord to, you know, claim protection for yourself. We're talking about deliverance and protection. Claim protection for yourself and for your loved one. Hallelujah. Let's read Psalm 107. Now, in Psalm 107, there was a lot being said about, you know, the things that the children of Israel went through. And they went through a lot, you know, times that the oppressors, even when they came out of Egypt, you know, sometimes they did not quite stay with the word of the Lord. And, you know, there are times that, you know, they will oppress or oppress them again. But each time that they cried out unto the Lord, the Lord remembered mercy and he helped them. So you can read this Psalm 107, very interesting psalm, but I'm going to just read one verse out of that. You know, that will be verse 39 is all I want to read. You know, again, you know, he said, look, they were brought low, they were diminished, you know, because of their disobedience and so forth. You know, through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. Now, so what I want to bring out of here is that oppression, affliction, and sorrow will cause people to be brought down low and to be diminished. Instead of advancing, instead of, flourishing, these things, oppression, affliction, and sorrow, sorrow of heart, sorrow because of various things that the enemy throwing at us, you know, that will cause people to be brought low. But you've got to shake thyself from the dust and know that the Lord is with you to bring you deliverance. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Psalm 119 and verse 134. Psalm 119, powerful, powerful psalm about how, you know, if we hold on to the word of God, a lot of victories that we can get by using the word of God appropriately. Praise the Lord. And here is his prayer in this place. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face, Lord, to shine upon thy servant. Teach me thy statutes. Hallelujah. You know, so he recognized that there could be oppression around him, and he prayed for the Lord's deliverance. You know, and in each one of those, whether the scriptures, whether they are prayers or declarations, we see God's ability to deliver us. Psalm 146 and verse 7. You know, these psalms are mingled with praises, but they are also mingled with prayers. Prayers and praises, they go together. You know, he said, you know, here, you know, he's talking about us not putting our trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man in whom there is no help. But he said, happy is he that had the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executed judgment for the oppressed, and giveth food to the hungry. So the Lord will also loose the prisoners, will open the eyes of the blind, raise them up that are bowed down. Hallelujah. You know, this is what the Lord does. He will relieve the fatherless and the widow and so on. You know, but they will turn the way of the wicked upside down. So the Lord will execute judgment for the oppressed and turn things in their favor. You know, when children of Israel, after many, many hundreds of years, 430 almost, when they were going to leave Egypt, the Lord said to them, go and practically rob the Egyptians. Turn the tables and go and borrow something, but they were not. You know, this one is, they're going to take it because of all of the things that they had done to them. And they're going to get as much as they can. And, you know, the Egyptians would not have given them anything at all, except for all the plagues. You know, by the time the Lord brought all those plagues, they were ready to thrust out the Egyptians. I mean, to thrust out the Israelites. You know, and so just take it and leave, you know. So they robbed them. The Lord brought them forth with silver and gold. You know, the Lord turned the tables. The oppressor had been oppressing them. Now it was time for them, you know, to get their own. Praise the Lord. So, you know, the Lord, he will always bring deliverance and protection. Proverbs chapter 22. And verse 16. Proverbs 22 and verse 16. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches. Now, this is something the Lord doesn't like us to oppress people. And there's a lot of rich people that oppress the poor, even to increase their riches. You know, they're already rich. I mean, but then they hike prices. They make things so difficult for the poor, in order to increase their own riches. In some of these suffering countries, you know, it is the rich creating these artificial scarcities and so forth in order to oppress the poor. Well, there are two things that the Lord says in this verse. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that gives to the rich, both of them shall surely come to want. Yeah, pay attention to that. You know, most people don't know that this verse is in the Bible. You know, don't oppress the poor in order to make yourself richer on their backs. And don't give to the rich, because they are the ones already oppressing you anyway. You know, so if you, either the one that's oppressing the poor to increase their own riches, or the one that is giving to the rich who are already the oppressors, so both of those people will come to want. So, you know, God does not like affliction or oppression to the poor, especially when it's coming from people of advantage. And then they're trying to take advantage of them and oppress them even more to increase their own riches. The Lord has seen it, and he will turn things around. Praise the Lord. Now, let's read Ecclesiastes. Okay, let me read Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 25. Isaiah 49 and verse 25. Again, you know, there are declarations of deliverance, of protection, and various things that the Lord promised for his people. Shall the prey, let me start from verse 24. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? You know, sometimes we stick our necks into problems, and some of the oppression that come upon us is because of our own doing. But nevertheless, you know, even if you put yourself in that situation, all you got to do is cry out to the Lord. You know, the Lord says, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save their children, your children, and I will feed them that oppress you with their own flesh. They shall be drunken with their own blood, even as sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I am the Lord, even thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. So you can see how the Lord, you know, takes up the plight of the oppressed, even the captive and so forth. Bible says that, you know, the anointing of the Lord in Isaiah 61 is upon me to set the captives free. And that's what he does. So if you're in any kind of negativity or captivity, you cry out unto the Lord, and he will answer you with deliverance and protection. The Lord offers us protection. You know, as we read in Psalm 91, protection from evil, protection from the plans of the enemy. But he also will give us this instruction in Isaiah 51, not to be afraid of man. You know, because you think that he's an oppressor, he's a terror, and so forth. What about the Lord? You ought to be more afraid of the Lord, you say here. Let's read Isaiah chapter 51, verses 12 and 13. You know, Isaiah 51, verse 12. The Lord said, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou? This is a question that he will ask us today. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of a son of man that shall be made as grass, and forgettest the Lord thy maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and you have feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy? Now, look at how the Lord is going to respond to that. Where is the fury of the oppressor? The thing that you are the thing that you are afraid of every day. The Lord said, where is it? I'm looking, I can't even see it. Praise the Lord. You know, so instead of being afraid of people or the son of man that shall die and be made like grass, well, we ought to fear the Lord. Don't forget the Lord in your fear of anybody. Nobody, you know, should make us afraid of anything. You cry out to the Lord against your oppressors. You can be in business, it could be on your job, it could be anywhere. You know, whenever people oppress or you are oppressed, you know, people oppress you, cry out unto the Lord. The Lord said, look, don't even be afraid of them because their fury is nothing. The fury of the oppressor is broken already. Glory to God. It's already broken. The Lord has ordered deliverances. Say the Lord will command deliverances for Jacob. And not only deliverance, but he will also protect you under the shadow of his wings. You will trust and you will dwell. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 54, verses 14 to 17. You know, the Lord point blank says there that, look, all these evils and these oppressions and these terrors shall not come near you. You got to believe it, that the Lord has already promised it. As a matter of fact, he said, in righteousness shalt thou be established, and thou shalt be far from oppression, and thou shalt not fear. You will be far from terror, because it shall not come nigh thee. Isn't that powerful? Again, let's read it. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Well, that means we must walk in right standing with the Lord. You know, if we, you know, want the Lord to go to bat for us, then we must walk in the light. Hallelujah. Walk in the light, trust in the Lord, and lean upon the Lord and not upon yourself, or your own understanding or your own strength, or not, do not put your trust in princes or man. But if you walk in his truth, he said, you'll be established. You'll be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear. You'll be far from terror, because it shall not come near thee. The Lord said this, and he will make it happen. And these promises that God said that something will not happen to you, if the thing does happen to you, then you need to grab a hold of the promise and say, Lord, you said this. And then begin to use that to remind the Lord to turn the tables and change the story. Hallelujah. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. He already said it, you know, and they will do that too. They will gather. They will surely gather against you. But the Lord has seen it too. And he said, you know, I will discomfit their counsel. Just like he disconfited the counsel of Ahithophel. And he changed it, he turned it around, made it nothing. Hallelujah. He said, behold, you know, the Lord will cause them that gather against you to fall for your sake. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Weapons of terror, oppression, and different plans that enemy try to bring upon you, it will not prosper. The Lord didn't say he won't form the weapon, or use it, or try to use it, he will, but it will not prosper. Praise the Lord. And, you know, every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. But this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. These are powerful, powerful promises. And, you know, Micah will even get in on the action. You know, here's Malachi, I want to say. Malachi will get in on the action. In Malachi, you know, chapter 3, let's see what the Lord will say here. Praise God. Verse 5. And I will come near you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages. You know, so if you feel like you're being oppressed on your job, they're not paying you, they promised you, but they don't pay. That's an oppression. You know, the Lord said, look, don't oppress the hireling in their wages. Don't oppress the widow. Don't oppress the fatherless. Don't oppress the stranger. Don't oppress. Look, Masters, do right to those that work for you, he said. You know, so for anyone that's been oppressed in any, you know, phase of life, the Lord said, I will be a swift witness against them. Praise the Lord. So many promises of deliverance, you know, and protection. Now, in the book of Luke, we see the Lord himself talking about some things. In Luke chapter 10, you know, we know how the Lord had sent out his disciples, and they went out, and then they came back and reported some things to the Lord. And they were, you know, excited about, you know, things that happened. And then he said, wow, devils are subject unto us through thy name. And the Lord responded and said, well, I actually saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. And now I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And the devil, he actually has power through oppression and terror and so forth. Fear and all these things that we have been talking about throughout this series, those are the powers of the enemy. But the Lord said, I give you power over all of that, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. I mean, they'll try, but it won't hurt you, saith the Lord. You know, but he said, look, let your joy be in the fact that your names are written in heaven. Not just because the devils are subject unto you. They will be. But rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And I give you power. Hallelujah. Over all the power of the enemy. Now, we have enough verses throughout these scriptures to, you know, strengthen ourselves in the face of terror, in the face of oppression. But let me talk a little bit more about, you know, terror and oppression, the tactics, how the devil will use these things. We've already read how he will use them to bring people down, keep you down and so forth, oppress you and torment you and so forth. And people are, when people are oppressed, you know, they even forget their rights. You know, people take away, you know, it's like the slave trade and so forth. They take away from, you know, the slaves their rights, you know, and enough time passes, the slaves themselves begin to think that they are nobody and that they have no right and so forth, and that they're not better than dogs and all these things, you know, and they're just constantly oppressed and pummeled and so on. Did you know that when the children of Israel were in Egypt, these things happened to them? Their taskmasters oppressed them, tormented them, bullied them, and perhaps even raped their wives, did all kinds of things to them, beat them up. They couldn't do anything for themselves, you know, because they were treated like less than nothing, you know, and for a long time they took it, you know, they just took it quietly until they started to cry out to the Lord. And when Moses came back to try to get them out of there, got them out of there, on their journeys to the promised land, he had to teach them many things. You know, Moses remembered that, look, you know, when you were in Egypt, they pummeled you, they did all kinds of things to you, they couldn't do anything. He said, but this time around, I tell you, you know, an eye for an eye now, a tooth for a tooth, fight back, he began to tell them. They slap you, slap them back. Is the reason why Moses said all of those things, because he was trying to train them how to fight for themselves, you know, because they couldn't when they were in slavery and in under the torment of the Egyptians. They couldn't fight for themselves. Those people would beat them up, do everything to them, ravage their women, and they would do nothing. Moses said, well, that was then, this is now. Take up arms and fight for yourself. Somebody pluck out your eye, pluck out their own eye. Somebody pluck out your tooth, pluck out. This is the reason why Moses said all those things. But Jesus, when he came, he said, look, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. you know, I will revenge and I will avenge my own, you know. So don't take the law into, don't take the matters into your hands anymore. But cry out unto, the way you do it now is you cry out unto the Lord and the Lord will take care of you. The Lord will fight for you. In fact, one time he said, well, these armies that you see today, you know, Mount Seir, Moab and Ammon and all of these people that over completely overwhelm you, the prophet said to Jehoshaphat, well, he said, the Lord will fight for you and you will not need to do anything. The Lord will take care of you. As if that was not enough, in the story of Hezekiah and Sennacherib, you know how Sennacherib came and, you know, oppressed them even with words. He said, look, you know, let not the Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord and tell you that the Lord is going to deliver you. The Lord is not going to deliver you. Have any of the gods of the nations delivered them? I mean, we've burnt them down. We destroyed all of them. We cast their gods into the fire. So don't let Hezekiah think or say you that you should trust in the Lord. The Lord is not going to deliver you. And the people, you know, the watchmen on the wall were even begging them to say, look, I mean, don't put us to shame. Speak to us in your language. We understand it. Don't speak in a language. He said, no, I will speak in that very language. You think I come here for nothing? I'm going to make you drink your own pee and so forth. I mean, they were just ridicule them, oppress them and so forth, words and everything, put terror in their hearts. Well, you know, Goliath also put terror in the hearts of the people. He came out, I mean, he was towering over the people. I mean, he was like a massive figure. Nobody ever seen anything like that. Saul himself was tall. Bible says Saul was shoulder, you know, head of shoulders above the people. But this Goliath made tall Saul look like, you know, a small man. And he was so massive and he terrorized the people every day. Said to them, look, there is no need for all our soldiers to kill one another. You know, you just choose yourself a champion. You know, and I will be the champion on the Philistine side and you choose yourself a champion. Let us two champions fight. And whosoever wins, well, you know, the other party, the other army must submit. You know, and he terrorized them. Nobody could respond. Terrorized them every day. You know, in the days of Gideon, the Midianites terrorized them. You know, when the children of Israel will be there, you know, whatever they did, they will wait until they finish, you know, threshing their flood, doing all the labor and everything. Then they will come in and beat them up and take it from them. You know, that's terror, you know, and so forth. They will just take it from them, terrorize them. And so they would hide. When they wanted to thresh their wheat, they would hide because they didn't want the Midianites to know what they were doing. Because those guys, they would just be laughing at them, say, yeah, you do all of that when you're finished. I'm coming in there and getting it from you. And you know, that's how bullies do. You know, I mean, bullies in the schools, systems, you know, they go there, they bully the little ones, beat them up, take their lunch and everything. And, you know, throw their head on the ground and everything and kick them and so on. You know, I've seen these things on TV. And they just bully them like that. Well, until one day that guy figures out how to stand up for himself. You know, you got to stand up to the bullies. You know, we don't need to go fist to fist necessarily. We got the power. You know, look, we absolutely got power that they may not know anything about. And so, you know, when they are, you know, doing all these, you know, oppressing, saying things, doing whatever. Well, let's see the antidote that God will say here. In the book of Isaiah chapter 62, here is the word of the Lord against oppressors and people that, you know, you labor and they sweep in there to take it from you and so forth. Well, the Lord said, I'm going to change all of that. So let's read some portion of Isaiah 62. Praise the Lord. And you know, there are other things that the devil will use to oppress us. Oppress you and with situation in your life. You know, if things are one area is not going well, a devil will use that to oppress people and say, look, look at you. You know, the Lord has forsaken you already. I mean, look at all, you know, everyone that you know is ahead of you, and you are forsaken. You know, you will never be married. You will never have that job. You will never have that dream. I mean, and so forth. You know, and everything you do is falling apart. God has forsaken you. I mean, the devil will do all these things to oppress. Huh? But here's what the Lord said. He said, thou shall be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Help Zobah, the land Beulah. For the Lord shall delight in thee, and thy shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, even so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Hephzibah means delight, the one who the Lord delights in. Beulah means chosen for marriage, the one that is married. Now, the Lord said that in verse 8, he swore by himself. He said, look, Lord has sworn by his own right hand and by the arm of his strength. Surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thy enemies or thy oppressors, I should say, like the Midianites. You do all of that threshing and everything, and they swoop in there to take it. The Lord said, enough of that already. The sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored. But you that have gathered it, hallelujah, you will also eat it, saith the Lord. And you will praise the Lord, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. I love this scripture. You know, you will not labor in vain. You know, you will not labor in vain. You know, it's not like, oh, you labor, you do things, and someone else swoop in there and take it. Well, maybe that has happened before. Some people say, well, you know, they're always passing me over for that promotion. Somebody always getting that, it belongs to me. Nobody can get anything that belongs to you. Huh. They can't do it. You know, it may look like that's what they did, but that's not what they did. If it belongs to you, it is coming to you. If they think they got it and it truly belongs to you, the Lord will restore it. Or otherwise, he will show you the strategy of what he wants you to do. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord, you know, says you will not labor in vain. When you build houses, you will inhabit them. You will eat the work of, the good of all your labor. You shall rejoice in them. Because that's, you know, that's how the Lord does the things. He wants you to bring forth for gladness and for joy. You will have abundance of joy because the Lord will deliver you from your oppressors. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord does not want us to languish, you know, under oppression of the enemy, but he will deliver us. He will set us on high. That's what the Bible says. He will deliver you. And he will set you on high. Praise the Lord. You will build houses. And you will inhabit them. Glory to God. You will plant vineyards. And you will eat of them. Hallelujah. And the Lord shall cause his goodness to pass upon you. Praise the Lord. You know, that's a story that Jesus told in Matthew 20. He told this story. And at that time, it seemed as if, these people, there were some people there, they were just, there was nothing going on for them at all. You know, they stood around all day long, nothing happening. you know, everybody else was making progress. People were getting jobs and they were getting, making progress. These people were just hanging around all day, nothing going on. So suddenly the master of the vineyard comes to them and says, well, why do you stand here idle all day long? I said, well, because no one has hired us. This is the story of the 11th hour workers. And the Lord said to them, he said, look, you go into my vineyard and anything that is right, I will give unto you. And did you know that the ones who bore the heat of the day, they started out like, you know, perhaps the early, you know, their day starts at, you know, 6 a.m. to like 6 p.m. You know, so maybe at 9 a.m., which is third hour of the day, you know, they were there. They labored till 5 p.m. There was 1 hour left. You know, these others were there. And then this one, you know, just 1 hour, they went in there. And after just 1 hour of laboring, when it come time to pay them, the Lord said, you know, in the parable, the master of the vineyard says, start from the last. And he gave them the same reward that the other ones got. And so when the first that came there, when it came to their turn to be paid, they got the same amount. And they started to grumble. And then the master said, why are you grumbling? Did I not agree with you for a penny a day? You know, I mean, why, you know, take thine, is thine and go your way. I can give to this order as I have given you. I mean, is your eye evil because I am good? I've done you no evil. This was the agreement you and I made. You agreed that you negotiated with me for 1 hour. I mean, a penny for the day. And that's what I'm giving you. And I can give to this one as I want. Glory to God. For there be many that are last that shall again be first. Praise the Lord. Now, the Lord is the God of the 11th hour. He can change all that oppression and all that, you know, backwardness and everything, you know. And in this series, I'll be talking more about that. We'll get to one of those lessons. But he can bring all of that around. In a moment, he can change it. And it can make the people who have been standing around looking like nothing going for them. They've been oppressed. They've been backward and everything. And all of a sudden, make them equal. Praise the Lord. Make them equal to those that have been there for a long time. Well, because the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. The Lord can cross his hands at any time. You know, remember the story of Manasseh, you know, and Ephraim, the crossing of the hands, the children of Joseph and so forth. He can do, you know, sometimes, you know, the Lord can just take whatever we think, you know, it doesn't even belong there. He can do it and turn things around. Now, my prayer for everyone in this room today, I digressed a little there, but is that, look, never give up within yourself because you think, you know, some people say, well, I'm a dry tree. The Lord has forgotten me. The Lord said, no, the Lord has not forgotten you. Praise God. He will remember you. Hallelujah. And everything that the devil has used to oppress your mind, perhaps because of, you know, certain shortcomings, the devil will use that to oppress people. The Lord said, I will deliver you. Praise God. And I will cause you to ride upon your high places. And I will make your feet like hinds' feet. And you will praise the name of the Lord, your God. You will eat in plenty. You will praise the name of the Lord, your God. And my people, you know, shall never be ashamed. Wherefore, praise the Lord. Give him all the glory. For the Lord has seen. He said, look, I have surely seen your affliction. But because now you cry unto me, I've heard your cry and I'm come down to deliver you. So I am going to cry unto the Lord on behalf of anyone that is going through oppression or terror and so forth. The terror and the oppressor will be broken. Even as in the day of Midian, saith the Lord. Even as Dagon fell before the ark, so will every terror, every oppressing spirit fall before the anointing of the Lord that's coming upon your life and that is in your life already. Now, therefore, O Lord, I pray for your children that we will not be, you know, victims of oppression and victims of terror. You said terror shall not come near us. Oppression shall not be our portion. Hallelujah. He said we shall not be afraid of the terror. We shall be far from oppression and from terror. Shall not come near us. And the terror of the wicked is nothing. The fury of the oppressor is nothing. It is broken, saith the Lord. And I will cause your head that have been bowed down to be lifted up again. I will cause even the hands, you know, that have been weary and are heavy. I will cause them to receive strength and they will be lifted up again. Praise the Lord. I will make your feet like hinds' feet. Yeah, I will give you the wings of an eagle, he said. Mount up with wings as eagles. You run. You can run too. You would not faint. You walk. You would not be weary and so forth. The Lord, he will cause his goodness to be upon you. Praise the Lord. In place. You know, God said in place of ashes, I'll give them beauty. In place of the spirit of heaviness, I'll be oppressing them. I'll put upon them garment of praise. You know, in place of, you know, sadness and sorrow, I'll put oil of gladness upon them. Hallelujah. Therefore shall they return. The redeemed of the Lord shall return with singing unto Mount Zion. They shall come back again into their own place. Joy and gladness shall be upon them. Sorrow and mourning and sighing, oppression and terror shall flee from them in the name of Jesus. Now the Lord establish his good word upon you. In the name of Jesus, receive strength from the scriptures to know that you shall, the enemy shall surely not exact upon you. Hallelujah. You know, reject the exaction of the enemy and anything that the devil try to bring up against you, reject it in the name of Jesus. Thou shalt be fat and flourishing. The goodness of the Lord will cause you to thrive, not just survive. He will be with you. He will give you an answer of peace in everything. So, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and let the King of glory come in. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.